This is the Do It Scared podcast, episode 124. And in today's very special episode, we are taking a deep dive into the science of weight loss with our Thinlicious physician advisor, Dr. Edie Wadsworth. Now, if you have been even just a little bit curious about how your metabolism works or how your hormones are affecting your ability to lose weight, or maybe if you just wanted to understand more about how getting healthy can feel actually sustainable, then I promise you this is an episode you will not want to miss. Fair warning though, it is a long one and it is super juicy. You may even want to take notes. So get ready to dig in. Welcome to the Do It Scared podcast. I'm your host, Ruth Sukup, and each week on the show, we will talk about how to face your fears, overcome obstacles, and most importantly, how to take action and create a life you love. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Do It Scared podcast. I'm so excited about today's episode, which is actually my first interview episode since bringing back the Do It Scared podcast. And today I am sitting down with my dear friend, Dr. Edie Wadsworth, who also happens to be our physician advisor for Thinlicious and the Thin Adapted System. Now, if you've been a longtime listener of the Do It Scared podcast, then Edie Wadsworth is not a new name. You may remember her from two previous episodes, episode 10, where she shared a whole lot more about her personal journey, and episode 99, where we talked about all things business. Those are actually both really fun episodes. So if you love Dr. Edie as much as I do, then you may definitely want to go back and listen to both of those episodes. But in today's episode, we are tapping into Dr. Edie's expertise as a physician and taking a deep dive into the science of weight loss. We're talking about metabolism and about hormones and about mindset and how all those things come into play when it comes to getting healthy. It is a super meaty, super juicy interview. Really, really good. But it's also a long one. I'm just going to warn you, but it is one that is worth listening to more than once because it is just so jam-packed with such good information. And so without further ado, here is my interview with Dr. Edie Wadsworth.
Hi, Edie. How are you?
Hi, Ms. Ruth. I am doing great. So good to see you.
It's so good to see you too. I am so excited to dive in with you for this interview that I think is going to be so informative for people and just help to kind of dive into the nitty-gritty, into the science, and to just kind of what is maybe the philosophy and the science behind our program, and also the way that you think about food and getting healthy and eating and metabolism and hormones and women over 40 and all the things, right?
Yes, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. So I'm so happy to be here.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, why don't we just start? Let's start with like a little intro because I've actually interviewed you here on the Do It Scared podcast before, which is awesome. So if you want Edie's like full sorted history and all that, did we cry during that one? We might have cried.
We probably did
a while back. Yep. If you want all of that, if you want the big story background, you can go back and listen to that episode. But in the meantime, why don't you just give us more of your medical background and a little bit of your journey as a medical practitioner to start?
Yes. Well, I went to traditional medical school and trained as a family doctor and practiced for 7 or 8 years as a family doctor before I dove headlong into the blogging world, which is where I met you. Yes. But when I was practicing medicine, I had a very strong pull to preventive health. I loved helping people make lifestyle change. That was my favorite thing to do. I basically tailored my practice toward that kind of patient that wanted to get healthy, that wanted to, you know, break free from some of the things that they were struggling with. So that is what my interest
it's
was.
So unusual.
Yeah. I know. And it's interesting because now, since I quit my practice, started blogging, fell in love with natural health from my own health crash. It's a little bit, I think, what happened for you. You have these issues. I kind of had a health crash and it made me rethink everything. I'm like, wait, I don't want to be 43 years old, 30 pounds overweight on 12 medications. So I'm going to have to figure out how to help my body heal. Yeah. And so my journey took me down a natural health journey, which led me into, it's funny because we were on separate paths, but then we came to this point where we're like, oh, I believe exactly the same way you do about this thing. So we came
Isn't
at
that
it
so funny?
Different yeah. ways. Yeah.
Great minds think alike.
That's yes. right.
So went to medical school, really practiced as a family physician, but we're really into preventative health, which is definitely not what they really teach you even in medical school, nope. right? There's like, it's more about like prescribe, medication. So you were more into food as medicine. Then you left, you stopped practicing to become a blogger.
Yep.
And homeschool your kids. And then, so how long between like leaving your practice as a physician and then getting into natural health? Like how long of a gap was that?
I would say that was probably 7 or 8 years. And it's funny because in that interim time, I wrote about everything that I was passionate about. I wrote about home and cooking and exercise and decorating. I wrote about a lot of things. And somebody asked me one time, it's so interesting to me that you're a doctor, but you never talk about health. And that question really stuck with me. And I'm like, yeah, why don't I talk about health? Because now I talk about it all the time. It's because I didn't have anything good to say. Because I was trained very traditionally, even though I was interested in the preventive side, I hadn't really dove into natural health and how to feed our bodies and move our bodies in ways that, you know, give us true wellness. I hadn't entered into that world yet. And that question really was interesting to me. And now I find that it's one of my favorite things to talk about because it really does give us the experience of our lives. If you don't feel well, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to reach the goals you set. You're not going to have the experience of your life that you want. And I just remember getting to that point where it's like, I'm too young to feel this way. I'm too young to feel this bad. I'm too young to be struggling with this. And it was, you know, a series of years where I just figured out a lot of things for myself and really got a whole brand new education. And I just love geeking out on this stuff. If you could look at my audiobooks on my phone, I read every metabolic book that's out there. I just geek out on it. I love it so much.
So funny, which is exactly how I am too. And kind of yeah. the same way, right? Like maybe it's because I'm a couple of years younger than you. And so I've sort of gone through it a few years later. It's so true. And I'm the same way. Like I'm just a sponge wanting to absorb every ounce of information. And there's so much misinformation in like the common wisdom.
Yes.
I think that's the part that was shocking to me as I really started to dive into the science of all of this stuff and the studies that are out there. It's not that the information isn't out there or even that it isn't pretty obvious what works and what doesn't work. It's that like it's been sort of hidden or sheltered.
You know, and imagine. Yeah. And imagine if you were in my shoes and spent 13 years of your life being sort of indoctrinated into this way of thinking and then having the blinders removed and going, wait, nearly everything I was taught about this was wrong.
Yes.
And it's been a period of humbling myself, of being willing to humble myself and go, yeah, just because there's MD behind my name doesn't mean actually that I know everything about nutrition. Actually, when I was in medical school, I had one afternoon of nutrition, and I've spent the last 7 or 8 years really learning so much on my own about how to feed our bodies, how to move our bodies in a way that gives us true health and wellness. And it's not what I learned in medical school. I can tell you that.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Okay. So let's dive into that. What is your overall philosophy when it comes to health and weight loss? And then since you are our physician advisor for Thinlicious, how does Thinlicious and our Thin Adapted System fit into that philosophy? Does that question make sense?
Yeah. It's so funny because when you told me, and you and I, we talk a lot, but we tend to talk a lot about business. So we hadn't really talked that much about your journey. I mean, I had watched you do this and lose weight. And I was like, yeah, I did that a few, you know, like you're right. I was a few years ahead of you on that journey. So as we started talking about it, I'm like, oh my word, this is exactly what I teach my people. This is exactly what I teach. I read a book a few years ago called Why We Get Sick, and it's all about insulin resistance. And I grew up with PCOS, so I knew about insulin resistance. I knew I had a certain amount of insulin resistance. But what I noticed over the years is as I got healthier, the insulin resistance would kind of go away. And I could really manage it with exercise and lifestyle and all of that. So when this book came out, I was blown away at all the science that is out there. 80% of the U.S. is likely insulin resistant and don't know it. And we get that way from eating a standard American diet. We get that way from the food we eat, the lifestyle we have. And when I learned all this, I had no idea that I was doing this to myself. I had no idea that this was like self-imposed. When I had my health crash, I was diagnosed with hypothyroidism, insomnia, anxiety, depression, weight gain. Like I had all of these things and, you know, was given a pile of prescriptions. And I was just like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm too young. I'm going to figure out a way to heal my body. And part of my journey has been coming into learning how to fuel our bodies in a different way, learning how to recognize what spikes our blood sugar, what spikes our insulin. And I did almost a year of pretty strict keto. Now I have sort of my own maintenance way that I do it by learning what affects my own blood sugar. But I live my life exactly in the way that you're teaching. And I didn't really realize that until, you know, several months ago when you're like, yeah, I'm thinking of starting this program. I was like, oh my gosh, the world needs this so badly.
I know, so funny. So let's back up a little bit because I feel like there's a lot of what you just said that we need to unpack. Yeah. So first of all, like explain what insulin resistant means. Like what does that term actually mean and why is it not good?
Yeah. So insulin is a hormone and it's basically a growth hormone. So it ushers molecules from your bloodstream, sugar, glucose, into your cells so that your cells can use that for energy. The problem with the way most of us eat is that we take in way too much of that, way more of the glucose than our bodies can process. And so it's kind of like if your child keeps coming to you saying, mom, 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 eventually you just don't even hear mom anymore. That's what your cells do to insulin. They're like, yeah, I don't even hear you anymore because there's so much blood sugar here. So your cells become not very efficient at that, which leads to elevated insulin level, elevated blood sugar. And when insulin gets high, there's so many negative health effects from that. You can't lose weight. You're hungry all the time. You gain weight so fast. You feel like, I mean, I remember feeling this feeling of it's truly impossible to lose weight. Like my metabolism must just be completely broken.
Doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it feels.
Yeah. And when I was able to unlock it with diet, with lowering the amount of glucose that I was exposing my body to, feeding myself in a way different and better way, I was like, oh my gosh, it just unlocked. I lost, I mean, I don't know how fast your weight loss was, but I lost weight so fast.
I felt like it happened fast too.
Yeah.
30 pounds in the first 3 months. And then I kind of hit a plateau. And that's when I really started, because I sort of did keto for the first, at first. And keto works for a reason because of a lot of what we're talking about here. And yeah. But then that's when I really start, like I had a plateau and I couldn't lose anymore. And I was like, why? Like there has to be something more to this. And that's when I really started digging even deeper into the science of metabolism and figuring out why it wasn't working and understanding that I needed more protein and just like under, like really kind of looking at what I was eating and how it was affecting my body. And then that's when I lost the last 10 pounds. And yeah, so overall about 40 pounds in 5 months.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And crazy. I feel like it was kind of like a, it was just like a key turning, like it just unlocked my metabolism. Now I wouldn't, I mean, now I would probably say I'm doing the thin adapted system. I don't call the way I eat now keto because I've been able to adjust it to my own likes and dislikes. Exactly what you said. I have so studied what works well in my body, what fuels me well, what's good for, you know, all of my different systems. But doing that reset that I did back then, which is like what you're leading people through, is how the key turned. It's how it unlocked for me.
Yes. Yes, it's so true. And I think that like people get nervous at first, right? Anytime you're making a change, it feels hard and scary. And what I try to explain with this is that it's going to be a change. It's going to be a little bit of a shock to your system just because you're cutting out something that has tradition that is it a very addictive substance, right? Cutting out sugar and carbohydrates are so addictive. So there's going to be a little bit of a withdrawal period and an adjustment period. And yeah, that's going to suck. We can give you some tips for how to make it suck less. But once you get through that part, like stick with it, because once you get through that, it is like magic. It seriously sometimes just feels magical to me that I get to go out for dinner and have a giant steak and a plate full of vegetables and a salad and a glass of wine. And it's so good. And I think, I wake up the next morning and I've dropped a pound, right? Like, that's just like, that's amazing.
That
is life. If that's my life now, I'll give up my baked potato. Like if that's all it takes is giving up the baked potato and the rice or the starches, then awesome. Because and it really truly
you do start to, because you start to pay more attention to how those foods feel in your body, you start to want what you really need, right?
Yes.
Like your tastes change and you do start to want what's actually good for you. And it's funny because as soon as you told me this, I was like, oh, this is hilarious. Because last year in my coaching group, I taught a course called Unlock Your Metabolism. And I had them cut out flour and sugar for a month. I said, just for 28. It was like what you're doing, 28 day reset. Probably very similar, way less resources than you're giving everybody. Like that PDF is incredible. Like what you are giving people, it's truly amazing. But even the little bit that I did and led my people through, people like weight was falling off. People were feeling better. They're like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And I think it is so, listen, I am a capable, successful woman. I do not want to spend my life stressing about food and my body.
True.
I got work to do.
Isn't that it's so true? And I also think that's why like other diets in the past have never worked for me, because they basically require you to starve yourself is what it comes down to. The reason that they work, any of these diets work, is that when you cut calories, you're cutting carbohydrates by default. And so you're going to see some success, except that you're hungry all the time. And then when you're hungry, you can't focus. And so if you can figure out how to cut the carbohydrates without cutting calories, you still get to eat calories. You still get to eat and eat well and eat amazing food. And that is what to me is, that's really the epitome of like a miracle cure for me. And then on top of that, when you realize that it's not just helping you lose weight, which of course is like amazing, but all of the health benefits that come along with that, because insulin is like insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome are literally the core of pretty much every modern Western disease and illness that is out there. And that's what people don't understand. And that's where it's almost, to me, at like the more research I do on this, the more sinister it almost feels when you really start to see the immediate effect. And it's not immediate. It takes about 10 years once, you know, white flour and sugar are introduced into a society for that society to start showing obesity and diabetes and cancer and heart disease. And all those things come like as a direct result of a society introducing starches and sugars and carbohydrates. And it's sad. It's so sad to me because it's so preventable for so many of us. And, you know, people are like, oh, that doesn't sound healthy. Well, tell me what's not healthy about cutting out sugar. Tell me what's not healthy about cutting out refined carbohydrates and white flour. There, you can't argue with that. Like I'll argue that all day long.
Well, there's even part of me that, you know, like, of course, I sort of have, I guess, a love-hate relationship with the traditional medical system because I love it in that when we need it, I'm so thankful it's there. But at the same time, I think to myself, what are they doing to us? Like, you know, even the food pyramid of how you're supposed to eat, if you eat like that, you're going to get sick. And if you look at the foods that they engineer, I imagine, I think this does really happen. They're in some lab somewhere going, okay, now what flavor of Oreos can we get people addicted to? So it's been, for me, it's been this wake up call of like, no, you can't depend on some other institution to tell you what's healthy, to help you create health in your body. It's your responsibility. Do your research. But all the stuff that you said was true. When you introduce those foods into a culture, people get sick. People they gain weight. Yeah. They die early. Not good for us. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not. There's nothing about it that's good for us. And in a, like, talk about the hormone aspect of it too, because that to me is for women, right? Like this program is Thinlicious. It's not that it won't benefit everyone. It probably will benefit everyone. But I think the portion of our society that has the hardest time losing weight is women over 40, because you get to a certain age when you're young, your body can handle that insulin resistance a little better. Yep. And some people better than others, right? That's why we see some, even with the diet that we have, we see some people that stay skinny no matter what, because their body processes this stuff a little bit better and a little bit easier than other people. But as you age, your hormones start to change, especially like for women. And tell us a little bit more about what happens and why that happens and how this helps to combat it.
Yeah, I just taught a class on this. It's one of my favorite topics, but it gets me so fired up because, again, I see that it's not really our faults. What happens is we eat the food that we think is healthy. We buy products that we don't realize are sabotaging our hormones. We're literally swimming in a sea of toxic estrogen. If you look at, you know, just the food we eat, the products that we use on a daily basis, they're full of toxic fake estrogen. And estrogen also is a growth hormone. So then you've got foods that are elevating your insulin, that are elevating this level of toxic estrogen. And it's no wonder that all of us get to this age where, like you say, your body can keep up with that for a little while. But after a few years, your body tires out. And, you know, even the effects that those two things then have on your stress hormones, what happened to me was it all crashed. My adrenals crashed, my thyroid crashed. It was kind of like this perfect storm. And I know I'm not alone in that. I know that, you know, we just eat the way we see everyone eating. We think like, oh, this is a healthy food because it's low fat or it's, you know, whatever. And, you know, if I would have told you what I was eating 5 or 10 years ago, most people would say, oh, that looks healthy. But if you look at how much hidden sugar is in that, how much inflammation that causes, how much, you know, toxic estrogen is in different things that we eat, all of that over years is just not going to make us healthy. And, you know, I think that there's not enough good information out there. I had to dig for it. I'm so thankful for what you're providing for people because you're making it easy and fun for them. I feel like I had to piece it all together and dig for it and try this and try that. And, you know, it was like seriously trial and error for me for the last few years. I just remember even going to my coach at the gym going, what's the secret? Like, I feel like I'm doing the right things. And I this one area of my life, I can't seem to figure out. Right?
Yes. Yes. So, yes.
I love
yes.
this solution yes. because I feel like this gives the solution. It's like, okay, even if, you know, and I know you've been saying this, that this is a lifestyle. But I want people to know that you'll be able to customize this, do a reset, get your body trained to use different fuels, get your body off the sugar, and then you'll be able to customize it in ways that are unique to you, right?
Yes, 100%. And I think that's what's so important to understand is that I don't look like at this as a diet. Like, yes, the 28-day metabolism reset is a great way to get started. And that's the perfect way to reset your body and change the way that your body burns fuel. But it's not meant to be, okay, 28 days, and then you just go back to eating whatever, because that's right. not the whole point. The whole point is
that's what got us here.
Yes, yeah. That's what got us here. The whole point is to adapt your body into like functioning great and not without sugar and without carbs and not craving those things anymore, so that it doesn't feel hard to do this, because you still get to eat so much amazing food and amazing things. But truly, and I really do encourage people, like, and I know some people freak out, right? Like I say, you got to test your glucose. You got to do, yes, you got to prick your blood and actually pay attention. But you, the more in tune you can become with how food affects you, the more flexible you'll actually be able to be with this, because some people will have to stay more strict. Some people will benefit from eating super high, you know, super high protein, almost like more carnivore style, whereas other people can, you know, eat fruits and vegetables and have a lot more metabolic flexibility and are able to, you know, maintain their weight just fine. And that until you get in really in tune with your body, you're not going to know, you're not going to know those things, but you do, everybody has to like have that opportunity to break the sugar habit, break that addiction and reset your body and reset the way you burn fuel.
Yeah. And I went through the exact same period. I remember when this was probably, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, I brought home a glucometer and Stevie's like, what are you doing? You're not diabetic. Why are you checking your blood sugar all the time? I'm like, I'm figuring this out. I am figuring out how to help my body function in the way it was supposed to function. And I just did it. I did it, even though at the time to me, it felt weird. Now I'm like obsessed. I want to get one of those continuous glucose monitors. Like, I'm obsessed. But now that I've figured out what works well in my body and I know what I can eat, I don't do that anymore. I mean, I'm not tracking anything really most of the time. This has, you know, like kind of joining the 28-day reset and looking at what all of your students are doing. You know, I did get my glucometer back out, but it's totally worth it. It's like a science experiment. Just let it be fun. Just see how these different foods affect your body.
Yes. And don't look at it as in like, oh, I've got to lose 10 pounds by next week, or I'm doing it wrong, or it's not working, when other people, you know, other people seem to be losing weight just like that. Like, it may be your body, if you've been stuck in one mode for a while, it may take you a little longer to start to make the switch and start to see it. But once you do, that's where getting in tune with your body is going to be so, so essential. Getting in tune with how foods are affecting you and watching those levels and knowing how different things affect you, that you will see the results, and then you'll have control over it. And then you can feel confident about what you eat and the choices that you make. And that's amazing, right? Then there's a freedom that comes with understanding how food affects your body and what things out there will just affect you in a negative way. Because think about it. I mean, people already do that naturally, right? You're people who can't have gluten, or people who are vegan, or people who are vegetarian. And maybe for me, this making the switch to this was somehow made sense because I was vegetarian for so long, and I was very used to going to a restaurant and looking at a menu and going, oh, I can't have that, or that, but I can have this or this. And so when you're used to just choosing foods based on, you know, how you eat and what you can have, then it doesn't, it doesn't even really have to compute for you that somehow you're missing, that you're missing out. Does that make sense?
So good. Yeah. And I think it's just worth it because here's what will happen. Once you see how well your body functions and how much better you feel, it falls away. You're just like, no, I don't want to feed myself like that anymore. I mean, we've spent a lifetime doing that. And I think those foods are very addictive and give a dopamine hit, you know, that make us want more and make us crave more. And I think once I realized that, I'm like, no, you're not tricking me anymore. I've spent enough of my life getting cheap dopamine hits from processed food. Like, I want to get real dopamine from doing things that are really important in my life. And food is amazing. And I love food and I love to eat. But I think this way of living allows you to let that be a part of your life that's enjoyable, that gives you the health and body you want. But then you can use the rest of your energy to create whatever amazing things you want to create in the world.
Yes. Oh, 100%. So what would you say to people who worry that a low carb lifestyle or going low carb is not healthy?
You need to read
for you as a medical doctor.
Yeah. I would say you need to read the stack of books that I've been reading over the past few years. Yeah. It just doesn't, it doesn't bear out in the science. And we have to ask ourselves, how did we get to this point in our country where we have so much illness, so much heart disease, so much metabolic syndrome, so much obesity? We got there by the foods we eat. So the way we're eating isn't working. And most people know that. Most people can sense that. They're like, for some people it feels healthy. Oh, I'm choosing low fat this, or I'm choosing gluten-free that, but it's not working. And the evidence bears it out. Now that I've been in this world and studied this so long, like I can't even entertain the thought of that. Now I will say this, I think with anything, you know, like for me, I ended up adjusting my carbs quite a bit higher because now I eat lots of vegetables. I eat rice. I don't tell myself there's anything I can't eat. There are foods that I know that really serve me. There are foods that I know that I can eat that keep me at the weight I want to be, that give me energy, that make me feel better. And I love the message of Thinlicious that there's no deprivation. You get to choose amazing, delicious, real foods. And because we're not used to eating that, it's going to be an adjustment period. We're going to have to get off the cocaine effect of sugar. I read that in some of my reading that it is as addictive as cocaine. So
it is addictive. Yeah, it is. And I think that's probably one of the hardest parts of this is when you're basically detoxing from having this constant supply of sugar in your diet. And so if you feel not good, in the first few days, the first week or 2 weeks of this, it's because think of what happens if you are detoxing off of drugs. You feel like crap because your body is craving that. And guess what? If you feed your body sugar, you will feel better for a minute. But then you'll be just as addicted, right? Then you don't break the addiction. You have to break it. And so it really, but if you can do it, and you can you unlock this whole world of health benefits that I think people don't even realize, right? Like you are lowering your risk of heart disease. And then, you know, people worry about cholesterol, but they don't realize that so much of what we've been taught about cholesterol is flat out wrong and misinformation. Yeah. And that low fat diets actually increase your LDL cholesterol, which is the bad cholesterol, which makes you be more likely to have heart issues. And we think that we're doing the right thing and eating heart healthy carbohydrates, and they're not heart healthy. They actually are hurting your heart.
And the thing of it is we need these fats at our age. Hormones are all made of fat. So we've been fed this lie that we need to eat low fat diets. And so we're eating foods already that increase our insulin, that mess with our hormones, and then we're not getting the healthy fats that are the building blocks for all the hormones that we do need to make. Cholesterol is a very important molecule, a healing molecule, the precursor to all your hormones. And then we've had these diets for years that are low fat, low cholesterol, fat is not what increases your cholesterol. Sugar is what increases your cholesterol.
Yes. Just sugar is bad. Let's just like, guys, if you want to, like, if you want to simplify this.
Yep. Just quit sugar.
Down to the like bare essentials. Just sugar is bad. Don't, you know, like there's a lot more to it. And I want you to understand the science and I want you to understand other things. I do. I want you to be as passionate about this topic as I am. But if you need just the simple, like one sentence overview of why this works, sugar is bad and it is killing you. So, and carbohydrates turn to sugar in your body, in case you don't know that, like bread and any sort of refined flour, crackers, cereal, any of that stuff, it all turns to sugar. It's all sugar. So sugar is bad and that's it. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
I taught a hormones class 2 or 3 hours ago. I should have left my board. The first thing that I wrote on the board for how to balance your hormones, stop eating sugar. That was number one. Sugar.
Yeah. Stop eating sugar.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and I know hormonal balance is a huge deal for many of us. And because we're at that age where hormones are a huge deal. So yes, if you want, like this will not only help you lose weight, this will have an immediate impact on your hormonal balance. This way of eating, it will, if you have, you know, obesity and type 2 diabetes or metabolic syndrome, it will help with that. It will help with, I mean, it's anti-cancer. It fights cancer. Now, does that mean that I don't think that you should still see an oncologist if that's something that you're dealing with? No, but so much of Western disease can be directly linked to sugar. And the cause and effect is very, very clear. Inflammation, it's anti-inflammatory. So if you have any inflammatory diseases, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, anything like that, the chronic fatigue syndrome, there's so many issues that are caused by this.
And when you
are there any health issues that aren't related?
I don't think so. And when you stop eating it, I think that's why people experience such dramatic weight loss when they first do it. When you start eating this way, your body holds on to weight and water to shield all that inflammation, to protect your body from all that inflammation. So when you start getting rid of that, your body doesn't have to hold on to that anymore. So a lot of that weight is just inflammation that you're getting rid of. And I'm telling you, when I first started down this journey, I was so blown away by just like how my hands felt different, how my joints felt different, how I lost weight in my face. I was just carrying inflammation all over my body.
Yeah, it's amazing. And how much water we retain when we are eating carbohydrates as well. And that's what a lot of people worry about. Or you're told that you're not supposed to consume a lot of salt. Well, our body contains tons of salt, you guys, but salt, our bodies retain salt when we're eating carbohydrates. And that's why we get an overload of salt, because the more carbohydrates we're eating, the more our body's retaining that. But when you start to eat this way and stop with the sugar and carbohydrates, your body actually starts to flush that out. And so you'll find that you need more salt, which is why I always recommend people, and part of the reason you might start to feel not great is because you're losing too much salt. And so you have to just like add salt to your stuff in order to replenish that in your body.
Yeah. I saw you guys, a lot of your people, and you were recommending the electrolyte. You have an electrolyte drink that y'all make too. I used to do that when I was doing more a stricter version of it, but now I use the LMNT electrolyte drink. Yeah. It's funny because this morning, I was intermittent fasting. And so I went to the gym and worked out, fasted, and then drank my electrolyte drink and then came home and had lunch, at lunchtime. And I just, once you get into these kind of habits, you'll just be so amazed. You guys, I am 52 years old. I'm 52 years old. And doing this over the last 8 years, all of these changes that I've made, I feel like I look and feel 20 years younger than I did 10 years ago. It's crazy.
That is crazy to me too. I was looking, you know how your phone now, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. They like pop up all those little memories. And I've been looking at photos from 10 years ago and thinking, man, I didn't even realize I looked so yeah. puffy and bloated. And like, I feel now and look now better than I have in 20 years,
yep.
100%. And maybe even ever in my adult life. Like I truly have so much energy. I'm going all the time. My husband, I think, wishes I had a little less energy sometimes, but it's just amazing.
No, I totally agree. It's funny because, I had exactly the same thing happen. Memories, you know, these little memories pop up and I was like, oh, poor thing. I was so miserable and didn't know it. Like I don't think you realize it when you're in it, how bad you actually feel. And then when you start to feel better, you're like, oh my word, I would have done this 10 years ago if I had known that I was going to feel this much better, have this much more energy. So true.
Yeah. It's so true. So, and that's what I want to say for anybody who's starting to eat this way, like listen to this podcast episode on repeat in your first 2 weeks, right? Just like get through it. It is so worth it because what's on the other side of a little bit of discomfort as your body is learning how to adapt to a new way of eating is so amazingly worth it and beneficial. And just, you will want to shout it from the rooftops. I promise you it is worth it.
Yeah. And remember that you're already in a lot of discomfort. The way you're eating doesn't feel good. The way you feel in your body doesn't feel good. You already are in discomfort and you don't have the health you want. Choose a different discomfort and you get to have the health you want and you get to lose the weight you want. You're going to be uncomfortable either way. But then when you're so right, when you get to the other side, you're like, oh man, I'm so glad I did that.
So that's a good segue because I wanted to talk with you about mindset because you and I are both big mindset people. You might even be a bigger mindset person than I am, if that's possible, but it always comes down to mindset, right? Any change in your life, always comes down to mindset and getting your head in the right place and just like dealing with those demons and the self-talk and all the stuff that happens up here. And you're a life coach. You're an amazing life coach. Any of y'all need life coaching? Like Edie's your gal. You got to be in her program. It's amazing. But how do you start... How do you start developing the right mindset for this journey?
This is such a good question. This is exactly what I help people do every day, not just in weight loss, but in every part of their life. And here's the truth. We just get in the habit of doing what we do. You get in the habit of thinking the way you think. Those thoughts generate feelings. Those feelings generate actions. It becomes a habit. The way you eat, the way you move, the way you sleep, the way you conduct your whole life is just one big giant habit. And we think that that's fixed. We're like, no, I'm just a person who likes junk food. People say this all the time. I have a sweet tooth. No, you've just been in the habit of eating a lot of sugar for years and years and years and years. So if you want to change that, we often start with the action line. We want to change the action. And that's fine. That's a great place to start. But make sure that you take your brain along with you. Make sure that you work on that piece where you basically tell yourself a different story. So when I started doing this, I started writing this sentence down every day. I'm strong and fit and nourish my body in extraordinary ways. Now, at the time that I wrote that down,
that wasn't actually true.
I wanted it to be true. But yeah. I had been telling myself for years, like, oh, I just have a sweet tooth. I have insulin resistance. It's just an uphill battle for me. That is the story that I told myself. Yes. And I just began, as I was doing the very things that your people are doing in the 28-day reset, I started practicing how I want to think about myself as a human. I'm fit and strong. And what happened is I started to act fit and strong and nourish myself in extraordinary ways. I started to feed myself differently. I prioritized movement. I prioritized sleep and reducing my stress. I just started acting in the way that I began to tell myself I wanted to. And you might think, well, that's not that big of a deal. But everything that I've done like that in the past 5 or 6 years, it started out as just a statement that I wrote down in my journal or wrote down in my planner. You write something every day for 3 months, it changes your life. It gets in your head. It's like, I just kept telling myself, this is the kind of person I am. Now, if you come and look and watch my life, today I was in the gym and I did really heavy back squats and back squatted 150 pounds and I fed myself really good food at lunch and I just live that way now. I made that statement true by first believing that it could be true. So look at the way you've been being. You've just had a habit of being that way. You can create a habit of being a person just like you have of being a person who's thin and fit and strong. And that is powerful.
You know what was a big game changer for me now that you're saying that is I had a conversation with my friend Susie and you know Susie Moore.
Yeah.
I think you've met her. And she was telling me this story about somebody, I don't even remember who, but she's like, I tell myself every day that I'm sexy. And I tell my husband every day that I'm so hot and sexy and he's lucky to have me. And so I was like, oh, and then she had a whole story. It's in her book. You should read it. It's really good. But I was like, I should do that. And so I did. I started telling my husband, and who, like, I want to say this for the record, like my husband, even when I was at my heaviest, my husband still thought I was hot. He still, you know, he loved my big boobs. There was no issue. He was not telling me to lose weight ever, but I didn't feel good about myself and about, like, I wasn't comfortable in my own skin, but I started saying that to him. I started saying, I'm so sexy. You're so lucky to have me. And man, you got such a hot wife. And let me tell you, when you start saying that on a regular basis, you start to believe it, and better be prepared for your husband to believe it too, because comes with its own set of extra responsibilities, let's just say.
I love it. Well,
but it's so true.
It's so true though. And I think that we all we live so much of our lives without setting the intention for how we want it to be. And I just, in so many areas of my life, have decided this is who I am. This is how I show up. This is how I treat myself. This is how I nourish myself. This is how I take care of myself. And when you do that with intention, it sends a very powerful message to your own brain. It makes doing those actions that feel hard so much easier, because you're not using, you only have so much willpower, right? And you stop using that willpower and you just develop the habit of becoming the person who nourishes herself well, becoming the person who's fit and strong. And now I've made that a habit and it doesn't feel hard. And it's totally different than my habits were 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, it is. It's so true. And I think an important piece of that, like talking about habits, and something that I think a lot of us get wrong, I know I did for a very long time, is like wanting to change everything all at once, right? You get fed up and you have this moment and then all this, and you're like, I got to change it all. And I'm going to start eating right. I'm going to go exercise and I'm going to the gym every day. And then I'm going to drink all the water and I'm taking all the supplements and I'm doing a cleanse and I'm right. Like, I'm doing all the things. Yeah. And guess how long that lasts? Like 3 days, not right? Long. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm exhausted.
Right.
Because you can't do it all at once. But if you start with one thing, and then start to slowly add more things after the first thing becomes a habit, then it doesn't feel so jarring and it doesn't feel so weird. And that's like a lot of people ask me, you know, should I add exercise? Are you going to talk about exercise on with the 28 day reset? I'm like, no, if you're exercising already, then great. Keep it up. If that's not already a habit for you, then this is not the time to start a new, like, two things at once.
Nope.
It's the time to focus on food first, because that's 95% of the battle. And then later you can start thinking about adding other stuff in.
I 100%
agree.
I so agree. I think it's a recipe for overwhelm to try to tackle all of those things at one time. You didn't get here in 28 days. Pick one thing, do this reset. There's plenty of time out there, besides the fact that I mean, I am a huge advocate of weight training because it makes us stronger and it balances our hormones, but it has very little, if any, to do with your weight. So you win the battle with that in your mind first and in your kitchen, not in the gym.
Yes, yes, yes. So true. Okay. So let me see. Let me go back to my questions. We've been off on a little bit of a tangent.
So, okay.
My question is, how do you help your students break free of their old thought patterns? I think you've talked a little bit about that, but just real practically, if you're really struggling with I want to make this change, but I don't know how to break free. What's the first step?
I think that the mistake that I see a lot of people make is they find a belief that they want to believe, and they're kind of mad at themselves for the habits they have had. So they want to change a thought, change a belief, change a behavior, but they don't have a lot of compassion for the way they've been, right? And so, for instance, if you're wanting to believe a thought that I'm thin and fit and strong, your brain is going to offer you the opposite thoughts. And I think just holding space for that, yes, acknowledging it, not trying to push that whole side away with force, just the awareness. My brain loves to offer me these thoughts. I'm choosing these. I'm not mad at my brain for continuing to offer me these other thoughts. It's fine. I think instead of trying to strong arm yourself, believe this, right?
Right. It's
having patience and holding space for all of it and just practicing over and over. The way that I do it is I just spend some time journaling every day, intentionally deciding, who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? What thoughts do I want to practice? Not being mad at myself because my brain offers me these thoughts that it has offered me for the past 20 years. Your brain will keep doing that. But you get to decide what you focus on. So I think having patience with it, it takes some time. It's not going to happen overnight.
Do you think it's important to have compassion forgiveness for the bad choices that you've made that have brought you to this point? How do you deal with that? Right. That happens for me and not just in weight loss or my weight loss journey, but in other areas of business, right? You make a mistake. And then it brings you to a bad point. And I remember this happened. I mean, you know, a few years ago, I kind of went through this whole business implosion type thing. And I was so angry at myself. My husband called it the summer of rage, summer of 2019, because I was just so angry. And I was only angry at myself, but I just couldn't forgive myself for all the mistakes I had made. Cause I could look back and go, I did that wrong and that wrong and that wrong and that wrong and that wrong. And I'm so mad at myself and I don't know how to let that go. So how do you let that go? Let go the bad choices so that you can move forward and start making good ones.
Yeah. And I think part of that is just looking back and being so appreciative for you kept yourself alive. You got yourself here. You kept some kids decently healthy during this. You built a business. I always look back and go, I'm so thankful for my past self. She did the best she could with what she knew at the time. And she got us to this place. And look, she read these books that got us on this path. I think so much compassion for that version of us that got us here really helps you move forward without all that judgment, without all that. I mean, it's totally fine if you feel angry, process the anger, let yourself be where you are, but don't make yourself so wrong for it. We ate what was available. We ate what we knew to eat at the time. We did what we did the best we could. And I'm so grateful to be here now. Yeah. So I think it's lots of love, lots of space and compassion for our past selves too. But I also love thinking of, you just wait 5 years from now, I'm about to hook you up. Right? Because now I know better.
Right.
And so I'm excited for what I can create for future me. So I love all the me's, the past me, the now me, the future me.
Future you is going to look hot.
That's right. 28 days, baby.
I love that. I love that. That's so good. Okay. So final question from me, and then I'm going to ask you some rapid fire questions that have come from our community.
Okay.
But what advice would you give someone who is ready to make a change? Like, what would be your number one piece of advice?
I think that, first of all, I love acknowledging that you've come to this epiphany. It's kind of like what I was just saying. Like, you can be mad at yourself for what you've done. You can go, oh my gosh, look at the opportunity that's in front of me. Look what I just learned. Look what is now going to be available to me. Like, looking at even the fact that you got yourself to this point where you had this epiphany, such a huge gift, right? And I think when you see it that way, you don't put so much pressure on yourself. One thing that I will say is that this is a process. I'm still learning. Like, I don't think I have all of this figured out. I love doing this. I love figuring out how this food feels in my body, how this way of exercise feels. And I think looking at it as a journey, looking at it as this is just a big giant science experiment, and I love doing it and I love being here. Like, it's your whole attitude about it, instead of like, because what a lot of people do is they'll go, well, I'm going to try this, but I've tried like 7 times before and that never worked. Well, if you enter into it with that kind of mindset, you're setting yourself up for failure. Here's what I know as a physician. People who successfully lose weight lose it on the 8th time or 9th time or 10th time or 11th time. So if this is your 8th time to try, this could be it, mama. Like, this could be the time, right? And I think we think it's just going to be one and done, but a lot of us know, we tried this, we did Body for Life, we tried Weight Watchers, we did this. Don't make yourself wrong for that. Right. No, go, no, this is like time number 9. I'm pretty sure I'm about to kill it right now. Like, instead of making the past mean that you're not going to succeed, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because now you've learned all the things.
Now you know.
Right? And I talked to my business students. I was just talking to my business students about that today. Literally, I was telling them about all these crazy things that happened in the past of my business and the lessons that I've learned and the hardships that I've had to like work through. And I'm grateful for those, because now I'm equipped to handle the things that are coming at me now, which had I not experienced those then when my business was much smaller, I would have never been equipped to handle the things that get thrown at me on a daily basis today. And it's just, yes, that's how it is. Any goal, including losing weight. Yes.
And Ruth, I will say this too, and this is so, so important. We think to ourselves, when I hit this business goal, when I hit this weight, then I'll be proud of myself. Then I'll feel joy. Then I'll let myself experience whatever. No, you won't. You have to learn to do it now on the journey. So yes, if you don't learn to love the body you're in and appreciate it for being able to do what it does and being thankful that you got yourself to this point, you won't appreciate it when you're 20 pounds lighter. There's no magical thing that's going to make you have that mindset. You are in charge of that right now, which is why, you know, 90% of people in Hollywood are super skinny and miserable. This journey is not going to give you joy and happiness. That is an inside job. So do it now. Give yourself the gift of that now. Then when you get there, it'll just be all icing on the cake. I mean, not icing on the actual cake.
Icing on the cake in your skinny jeans.
That's right.
Yep. So, so true. I love that. That was so good. So, so, so good. Okay. So let's answer a few more questions. I think some of these are some practical questions.
Yeah.
Let's see. One is, I've had issues balancing my hormones and eating too much meat and dairy has caused hormone disruption for me in the past. Will this way of eating cause hormone disruption?
Again, this is going to be trial and error. Like, for me, I can do dairy, certain kinds of dairy, and I'm fine. Certain types of dairy I don't do great with. So I think even with dairy, that's one big broad category. I think you're going to have to test it. You're going to have to figure out, you know, what works good for you, what you can eat, what you don't do well with. And so, you know, I think for most people, I would say 99% of people doing this reset is going to unlock your metabolism. Like, it's going to unlock you in a way that you haven't experienced for maybe ever. There's always going to be people where you got to tweak it more. So if you're in that small percentage of people, just don't be upset at yourself about that. Just be willing to say, no, I'm committed to figuring this out for myself. I think I've had a little bit of a rougher time than some people because, again, I had PCOS when I was younger. I had insulin resistance. I've had to tweak it a lot. I've had to figure it out. I've had to keep testing. I've had to keep trying things. So just be committed to continually test and try and see what works well for you.
I love that.
Anything that you have to add to that? Like, I mean, that's the way I approach it.
But. No, I think that's true. Like, for some people, dairy is totally fine and doesn't bother them at all. For other people, it does. Now, I would say, like, this is cut the some of your hormone stuff may have been caused because a lot of hormone stuff is caused by sugar. So if you may have been attributing it to one thing when it was really being caused by another thing. And that's also a possibility. So I would open yourself up to that possibility, but be very in tune with your body. And, journaling is a really good, or just note-taking on stuff. Like, here's what I ate today. And here's how I felt after I ate this. That's a really big part of it. And for some people, that's going to be feel like too much and too hard. And then, okay, so then just do your best, right? Even if the best that you can do right now is to just not eat, to avoid as much sugar and refined carbohydrates as possible, but you just can't deal with all the rest of it. It's going to be
that's
100
a
times
great start
right now. Yes. It's a great start.
And don't,
so, and Rome was not built in a day. So But if you do notice that you're having a harder time than what you see other people, then that's when maybe, okay, if you're like really serious about wanting to make changes, then that's maybe when you start to dig in a little deeper or try some different things to see how that affects your body. And that's what I did too. Like I said, at the beginning of this, I started on more of a traditional keto because I had done keto before and it had worked for me. And then I went off of it and gained weight back. And that was, you know, my husband doesn't mind doing keto and low carb. He likes to eat that way anyways. So that was just easy for us as a family. But then I noticed that I plateaued, right? Like I lost a bunch of weight and then I just wasn't losing anymore. And that's when I really got curious. And so that might happen for you too. You might start with one thing, just cutting out sugar. I promise you, for 99% of you, if you cut out sugar and refined carbohydrates, you will lose weight. It will happen. Yep. But then you might get to a point where you're like, okay, now I want to take this to the next level. And now I want to really understand how things are affecting me a little bit more.
And I feel like, you know, as I age, I'm probably maybe older than a lot of people doing your reset. I feel like I have to do that every couple of years. Like I'm in another period right now where I'm like, okay, the hormones are shifting a little bit. You know, kind of like figuring it out again. And I think approaching it like, no, I'm excited to figure this out. I'm excited to figure out for myself what works for myself. How can I create health and wellness for myself instead of approaching it as like, oh, now it's not working again, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Our bodies are pretty complex and they're all a little bit different. They all respond a little bit different. Our hormones all respond a little bit different and some are more sensitive than others. And so, being in tune with that is really, really important.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Some of these I'm going to skip over because we've already sort of answered them throughout the course of our conversation. Let's see. Alicia's asking, I would love more direction with the glucose testing and what I'm supposed to be looking for. Can you explain a little bit more about that, Edie?
Yeah, I heard one of the Q&A's that you did where you talked about it just a little bit. What I tend to do is just fasting blood sugar to kind of gauge how the day before, like how that went. And then every now and then have your insulin checked or your hemoglobin A1C. I think if you're checking it postprandial, which you can, meaning after you eat, if you want to do that, you can. And I would do that 30 minutes to an hour after you eat. And then you can do it 2 hours after you eat to see if your glucose is coming down and responding to insulin If it's not, then you know that you're insulin resistant. After you're eating, if your glucose stays elevated, probably means that you have some insulin resistance. But the way I did it for myself was usually with fasting blood sugar. So I would just check it in the morning and I just kept a journal of what I ate the day before. And then I would check my fasting blood sugar and see where that left me. Of course, you'll notice things like when you don't sleep well, your blood sugar is higher. When you're more stressed out, your blood sugar is higher. It gives you such a good window into your body and life.
Really. Yeah. And I normally that only test it once a day too, after fasting, and you don't want to test it right when you wake up, cause you can have kind of a spike right when you wake up. Yeah. So that's why I tell people try to wait about 45 minutes, to an hour after you wake up, but before you eat and before you work out.
Yeah.
Because working out can also cause a spike in your blood sugar. But that's like, to me too, that I like to just kind of see how the day before affected me and make sure that I'm kind of staying steady. But if you have specific questions about how specific foods are affecting you, that's when you may want to test more frequently, but I probably wouldn't do that on a regular basis. Cause that just, I also want to live my life. I'm very much a believer in you got to live your life, and you got to feel like you can live your life. You don't want to be like tied to, oh my gosh, I don't want anything that I'm doing to feel stressful in any way. And if it starts to feel stressful, then think about, okay, how can I make this easier so that it doesn't feel like a big burden to me and is kind of counter, because like Edie's saying, that stress hormone cortisol will affect your glucose and it will affect your body's ability to burn fat and all of those things. You don't want elevated cortisol, which I will say my cortisol is pretty much elevated all the time. I've still managed to lose weight. So don't stress about that either.
No. And I think this is such a good point that if like you're starting the reset and you just want to give up sugar for 28 days, not track anything, just track how you feel. Just track, do your rings fit differently? Just track, are you losing weight? Then you can add that later. If the idea of that is stressful, like, oh, I don't want to do that. But I found it to be so interesting. Like I would be so excited to wake up and go, oh, let me see how that worked when I stopped eating at 6 p.m. and I had two meals that day. Like I liked the experimental part of it.
Yes. Yeah. I kind of do too. I'm nerdy that way, but I think that's what makes us friends, because we're both a little nerdy sometimes. Okay. This is a good one. I've heard there are no bad sweeteners. Can you explain what certain sweeteners do to your blood sugar? Why are monk fruit and allulose and erythritol okay and others aren't?
Again, I think this is worth testing. I think it's worth seeing how it affects your own body. Now, I will tell you this. For me, even when I had like keto-friendly sweets, like if it was made with almond flour, I've made stuff before with Swerve in it and it would elevate my blood sugar. I think it's worth testing. But I do think that there are these tried and true ones that for most people don't tend to spike your insulin, don't tend to spike your blood sugar. And I think it's great to start there. But I think it's worth testing. I will say that most of what is out there, if you're not being really careful, if you're, you know, most bars just in general that you're going to get are going to be sweetened with something that's likely going to spike your insulin and spike your blood sugar. And the thing that will happen after you eat that is that spike in insulin, remember, insulin makes you hungry. So even if there were no calories in the thing you just ate, now if you're hungry all day and, you know, if that sweetener is just making you hungry, soda, that's just making you hungry all day. Then it doesn't matter that it had no calories. It's just going to make you hungry all day. Right. So
yes.
Are those ones that they're recommending right now? I do like the ones that she mentioned.
Yeah. So monk fruit, allulose, and erythritol are generally okay. For most people, they won't spike your blood sugar, but I do agree with Edie that you should test it and be aware. And just even if you're testing like once in the morning, if you know you ate a lot of that the day before and you can kind of get in tune with that. How for a lot of people, though, a lot of the chemical sweeteners, the aspartame, saccharin, and what's the other one that I don't recommend? Why am I? Sucralose. Those are the three that do tend to, for a lot of people, they do tend to spike your blood sugar. And you can taste the difference. So monk fruit, allulose, and erythritol are actually all natural, more natural sweeteners versus the actual chemical lab created sweeteners, which are those, the other ones that we don't recommend. And there's something, because they're so sweet, they actually fool your body into thinking that it's sugar, which is why your blood sugar gets spiked. And so a lot of times, like, you think you're drinking Diet Coke, it's zero calories, it's fine, it's diet. It's not fine. It's having all the opposite effect of the things that you want it to do. So yeah, I would just, like, we've noticed, I know that my husband and I have noticed a lot that, because we, and this is where you have to be really careful about, like, just looking at the front of a product, because keto, like keto friendly suit, like I'm going to put that in air quotes, keto friendly products are becoming more and more common and more commercial as this, as it becomes more of a popular way of living and a popular diet option and all of that stuff. But read the labels, read the labels, read the labels, read the labels, look at the ingredients, because a lot of the stuff that is marketed as keto contains sucralose especially, but then also aspartame and saccharin. And those are the ones that you just want to watch out for. So even if you see it says keto on the front, read the label and make sure that it doesn't have those sweeteners in there, or at the very least test them. But I would just encourage you to avoid them at all costs. I would. So yeah. I've tested it with me, my husband, we notice a difference. And just weighing ourselves, we both maintain just by weighing ourselves every day and kind of stay in a range. And if we have, you know, so-called keto margaritas with a lot of that had sucralose in them, like, we'll both be up the next day, even if we weren't technically cheating, because it does make an impact.
Yep. And as much as you can, I'm sure that your people know this, but as much as you can, just eating real food, you avoid that. You don't have to read the label of eggs and steak and, you know what, yes. I'm saying? Like, as much as you can, yes. Eat real food.
Yeah. As much as you can eat real food, 100%. And vegetables, like, just staying away from starchy vegetables. But then, like, I don't, and I think again, if you're avoiding sugar and refined carbohydrates, you're
like 90% of the way there. Yeah.
90% of the way there. And so this reset can be, I do recommend that you're more strict during this reset just to get your body switched over. And then you can kind of ease up a little bit and still stay in that, because now your body has more metabolic flexibility. You're able to handle that kind of stuff. And as long as you're still avoiding carbs, but maybe adding in more vegetables and things, right? Like, that's low, the low carb vegetables and non-starchy vegetables are not bad for you. They're great for you. That's source of fiber. Same thing with low glycemic berries and fruits. Like, that's great sources of fiber and nutrients. And we want to eat real food and get nutrients from our real food, not from a bunch of artificial stuff.
Yeah. And part of the reason that those processed foods are so addictive and we want more and more is because your body knows you're not getting the nutrients you need. So when you start eating real food, real vegetables, real meat, and you get the nutrients you need, your body's like, oh, we can be satisfied with that because we're getting what we actually need.
So, so true. Okay. One question, is it true that if you overeat protein, it turns to glucose? Ooh, what say you? I'm curious what you say about this.
Yeah, that can be true for some people. But most of us, that is not even close to being our problem. Most of us are not getting nearly enough protein. So if you travel in keto circles and low carb circles, people will start to talk about that. But that, for most people, is way on down the road when you've already switched over and, you know, you're trying to tweak it. So yes, it can happen for some people, but I would say for our age group of person, most of us are not getting enough protein. And that's normally not an issue for any of the people that I help. And so,
yeah, I think the evidence is, from what I've read, the evidence is inconclusive for that. I know that is a very popular thing to say in keto circles, which keto tends to be high fat, low carb, and then says don't eat much protein. And that was what I did traditionally, or when I first started on this journey, is that that's kind of what I followed because I'd read the same thing. And then when I really started diving into the research, I realized that actually more protein is like, there's a point once you've switched over your body. And this is actually why a lot of people on traditional keto will plateau. And if you've ever wondered that, like I follow a lot of keto people on, you know, social media and things, and I've done a lot of research in this. And sometimes I'm like, these keto people aren't very skinny. And I think, oh, like if they've been doing keto for this long, shouldn't they be skinnier than that? And it is because, and I think that it's true, like your body, there's like it levels out, right? And so at first you're switching your body to become what we call thin adapted within our system. And that is where it's burning fat for fuel instead of burning carbohydrates for fuel. And that's what you want, right? But if you keep consuming tons and tons of fat, like a lot of people do on traditional keto, thinking that you need to constantly be eating more and more and more fat, and not very much protein and not very many carbs, and your body is burning the fat. You won't necessarily gain weight. You'll burn the fat that you're eating, but you're not going to burn as much body fat. And so that's why in our program, later on, once you have your body down, like adapted, you can start to lower it's never going to be low fat, right? I don't believe in low fat. Your body needs fat, but you need less fat and more protein. And then your body will burn the fat that you have as its fuel source. And so you will continue to lose weight. And that just helps. So I'm a believer in higher amount of protein. And I know I've talked about this a little bit, but I was vegetarian, for like 28 years. I was a vegetarian, and then pescatarian for some of those years. But when I realized I needed to be eating more protein, I finally was like, I think I was having a real hard time getting enough protein without soy. And as Edie talked about earlier, there's certain foods that have a lot of estrogen, and soy is one. And I was eating a lot, and that was, I ended up with an abnormal PAP. I'm just going to lay all my medical issues out there, and realize that that was probably due to the fact that I was eating an extremely high amount of soy, because I was doing keto as a vegetarian. And, so I wanted to cut that out. So I decided to go carnivore after 28 years of no meat. And that was pretty crazy, and I went full immersion. I went to the day I decided to start eating meat, I went to a Brazilian steakhouse and ate everything that they had.
Everything I could.
In true Ruth fashion, I'm only ever all in.
I'm all in. I love it.
I'm all in. Yeah, I'm all in. Okay. A couple more questions. You guys, these are such great questions. And I don't know how much time Edie has, but hopefully she'll stay with us a little bit longer. If fasting in the morning, does taking your morning prescriptions take you out of fast? If so, I can shift it to taking it at lunchtime. What would you say about that?
I don't think so. I mean, unless you're taking a ton of prescriptions, but if you're just taking a few pills with water, I do that with my supplements and it doesn't interrupt my fast. So I'd say you'd be just fine with that.
Okay. Another question. If I have 28% protein and 66% fats and 22% carbs total, will I not be resetting with my protein over 25%? I would say on that one, I don't know what you would say, Edie. I would say your carb percentage is probably a little high. I would try to get that a little lower as you're trying to reset, but I wouldn't worry about your protein isn't too high. It's more the carb percentage that's a little too high. I'd try to keep that like more in the 10 to 12% range during your 4-week reset. What would you say?
No, I agree. I think I don't do that now, but it's because I've been doing it a long time. But I think when you're first resetting, I agree. Yep.
Yes. Okay. How do you make sure that you have enough fiber? I hear that kidney stones is a higher probability following this type of lifestyle. How is that countered? Do we need to adjust the percentages of macros as we move along based on how we are feeling?
I just eat a lot of vegetables. So The other thing that you can do is psyllium. So that's a supplement that you can take for fiber if you struggle with that. It was one of the problems that I had when I did really strict high-fat keto. I had a lot of trouble. So for me, adding in fruits and vegetables, mostly vegetables, but some fruits too, and then psyllium husk helped.
Yeah, psyllium husk is good. And vegetables have lots of fiber. I mean, I feel like with traditional keto, that can be an issue, especially if you're eating nothing but cheese and bacon, like you might have some issues. But that's not what we recommend. And that's not what our program recommends. Like eat real food, just avoid sugar. Let's see. Shouldn't protein be consumed within a half hour of exercise? How to handle that if it doesn't fall into your fasting time? I've never heard that before. Have you heard that before?
Yeah. Well, some people do say that if you're bodybuilding, like if you're trying to build muscle. So one of the issues that I had when I first did keto is I had a really hard time building muscle because your insulin is so low, and insulin is the hormone that helps you build muscle, right? So I think it's more important to reset your metabolism. And after you do the reset, it's okay if that first, and I just looked at it that way, like during this period, I'm probably not going to be building lean muscle. So that's totally fine. So I'm guessing that this person is asking because they're taking the protein right after they work out in order to build muscle. So it's a huge debate in, you know, online health circles about, can you lose weight and build muscle at the same time? I tend to think that you should probably focus on one or the other. So if you're going to do the reset and you're doing that for health issues, for weight issues, I wouldn't worry about whatever you're doing with your protein during that time. And then once you're past the reset, you can kind of tweak it and figure it out. I had a harder time. I just had a harder time when I was doing really strict high-fat keto. I had a much harder time with my workouts. Now I don't because I get plenty of carbs, good carbs now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What are your thoughts on someone with Hashimoto's doing intermittent fasting?
Okay. So there's a whole online debate about keto and causing thyroid issues. Hashimoto's is normally caused from gut health issues, caused from leaky gut, and things get through from poor gut health that then cause your thyroid basically to attack these molecules and then attack itself. So I kind of follow that line of thinking. And I think in general, as you improve your gut health, which you will do with this, one of the things that kills our microbiome is sugar and processed food. So once you remove sugar and processed food, your gut microbiome is going to start to flourish. And for me, what happened when I started, I was diagnosed with that as well. And I don't have it now at all. And I think it's because I have healed my gut through healthy food, cutting out sugar, cutting out processed food, adding good probiotics. So I think that you're going to, especially if you've never tried anything before, it's different if you're like, well, I tried this and then tried this. But if you're like, haven't really tried a reset like this before, it's conceivable that it could be very healing for your thyroid.
I love that. It is healing for so many things, y'all.
Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease. So that's from too much inflammation. So once you get that inflammation down, you're going to be amazed at what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those of you who are like real concerned, like don't get so dogmatic or rigid in the like counting macros and gotta be exactly the percentages and stuff like that. That is not the intention of this program, to stress you out. That truly is not. And you know, it's kind of general guidelines and overall, like here's what you should shoot for. And let's try to keep it in here. But like, remember, let's go back to rule number one, like A, you should never feel deprived. B, just don't eat sugar. It's no sugar. So that's really what it comes down to. All right, you guys, I feel like we could probably keep going for another hour. Clearly, we're going to have to do another session with Dr. Edie very soon. But I just want to say thank you so much, Edie, for coming on and answering all our questions. And
so my pleasure. Like, I'm so excited about this program. I really think we talked about this yesterday, but this is like so my heart for women to find freedom in this area. And I'm so thankful for what you're doing. So proud of you guys for having this vision and launching this program. It's going to help so many people.
Oh, well, thank you. And I 100% am there with my heart for that's why I'm here. Like it just, I understand the struggle. I've had that struggle. You understand the struggle. You've had the struggle and to find that freedom. Finally, it does. It feels like such a gift that I want to share it. I will shout it from the rooftops and we will be shouting again soon. So thank you.
Thank you. Bye, y'all. Good to see you.
Bye. All right, guys, I know that was a lot to soak in. Like I said at the beginning, this is probably an episode you're going to want to listen to more than once because it's just so jam-packed full of good information. And as you can hopefully tell from this episode, Thinlicious is a brand that's based on such a strong foundation of metabolic science, and it's designed to get you real results. We are already seeing so many women have so much success with the 28-day metabolism reset, and that's why in July, we are actually going to be releasing our full Thin Adapted system as a beta program to a limited number of participants. The full program is something we weren't even planning to release until January of 2023, but it has become so clear that this is something that people want right away, that our customers so far are like, we don't want to wait until January. We want this right now. So we have decided to teach it live and to release it as a beta program and to do it right away. And so the lessons are going to actually be taught by both myself and by Dr. Edie, and are going to cover both the practical aspects of the program, meaning like, how do you actually do this? How do you make it work? What do you eat? What does it actually look like day to day? But also the science behind it. You have to understand the why. Why does this actually work? And why is this important? To be able to really understand it from a confidence standpoint so that you can apply it to your life on an ongoing basis. But then it's not just that, it's also the mindset, right? Making the mindset shifts required to create lasting change in your life. So we're just so, so, so excited about this program and how it all fits together because I really do feel like it's a new way to look at weight loss. It's a combination of that metabolic science, which is so essential, but also super practical, easy to follow steps. And then the mindset piece to make sure that all of those changes are going to stick. And we honestly couldn't be more excited to share it with you. I know I'm excited. I know Dr. Edie is excited. And this is really, it's just going to be so, so, so insanely good. Now, because this is a beta program, there are only going to be a limited number of spots available for this first round. We want to make sure that we are fully being able to serve the people that we have in the program. We've been a little overwhelmed so far with just the response, not going to lie. And we don't want to be so overwhelmed that we can't actually serve the participants. And so I'm just putting that out there. There is going to be a cap on the number of people we allow into this first round. But if you would like to be a part of it and you want to be first in line once we open up that enrollment on June 27th, you want to have priority, then please email us right away at hello@thinlicious.com with the subject line, I want in. That'll let us know that you want into the program. We will put you on the wait list. We will put you on the priority list. And we will let you know first if there's when there are spots available. So once again, email us at hello@thinlicious.com with the subject line, I want in. All right, you guys, that is about all we have time for today, but please stay tuned for another riveting episode coming very soon. And also, please remember to just keep those lines of communication open and continue to let me know what other topics you want to see me cover here on the Do It Scared podcast, and even what other guests you'd like me to bring on. You can DM me on Instagram at Ruth Zukup, or you can also email me directly at ruth@ruthzukup.com.
All right, guys, that's it for now. I will see you soon.